नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
You
can repeat after me, you can learn this verse. Narayanam namaskrityam Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tujayamudhiraye Nashta prayashu bhadreshu Nityam bhagavat sevaya Bhagavatir uttama shloke Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki Very nice. Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 61, Text number 4, I believe. Entitled Lord Balaram Slays Rukmi. So everyone knows who is Rukmi? Yes? The brother of Rukmini. And his father's name is?
It's Bhishmaka.
Bhishmaka, and also another name. You know? Starting with R, I guess.
Yeah.
Rukmavati or something like that, I'm not sure. Something. So we'll read text number 4. Smayavalokalavadarshita bhavahari Brumandala prahita saurata mandra shaundai Brumandala prahita saurata mandra shaundai Patnyastu shodasha sahasram ananga panair Yasyendriyam vimatitum karanayana shekuhu Yasyendriyam vimatitum karanayana shekuhu Smayavaloka lavadharshita bhavahari Brumandala prahita saurata mantra shondai Brumandala prahita saurata mantra shondai Patnyastu shodasha sahasram ananga banair sahasram ananga banair Yasyendriyam vimatitum Karanayana shekuhu Nriyam vimatitum Karanayana shekuhu Smayavaloka lavadharshita bhavahari
Smayavaloka lavadharshita bhavahari
Brumandala prahita shaurata mantra shandai
Brumandala prahita
shaurata mantra shandai Patnyastu shodasa sahasramananga banai Yasyendriyam vimatitum karanayana shekuhu
Yasyendriyam vimatitum karanayana shekuhu
With concealed laughter Avaloka of glances, lava, by the traces, dharshita, displayed, bhava, by the intentions, hari, enchanting, bru, of the eyebrows, mandala, by the arch, Prahita, sent forth, Saurata, romantic, mantra, of messages, Sandai,
Sandai,
with the manifestations of boldness. Patnai,
Patnai,
wives,
wives,
to,
to,
but,
but.
Shodasha,
Shodasha,
16,
16,
Sahasram,
Sahasram,
1,000,
1,000,
Ananga,
Ananga,
of Cupid,
of Cupid,
Bhanai,
Bhanai,
with the arrows,
the arrows,
Yasya,
Yasya,
whose,
whose,
Indriyam,
Indriyam,
senses,
senses,
Vimatitum,
Vimatitum,
to agitate,
to agitate,
Karanai,
Karanai,
and by other means,
and by other means,
Nashekuhu,
Nashekuhu,
were unable,
were unable.
Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The arched eyebrows of this 16,000 queens enchantingly expressed those ladies' secret intentions through coyly smiling sidelong glances. Thus, their eyebrows boldly sent forth conjugal messages. Yet even with these arrows of Cupid, and with other means as well, they could not agitate Lord Krishna's senses. Powerful verse. Read another verse.
Hitam rama patima vapya patim striyasta brahmadhayopi navidhu paravim yajiyam bejur mudhaviratam editanyo raga hasavaloka navasangamalala sadhyam.
Thus, this woman obtained as their husband the master of the goddess of fortune. Although even great demigods like Brahma do not know how to approach him, with ever increasing pleasure, they felt loving attraction for him, exchanged smiling glances with him, eagerly anticipated associating with him in ever fresh intimacy, and enjoyed in many other ways. Purport. This text describes the intense conjugal attraction the queens felt for Lord Krishna. It's a very small purport, but it's very, very deep at the same time. And if any mundane person reads it, they will think, oh, this is spiritual life. This is Krishna consciousness. I'll read the verse again.
Smayavalokalavadharshitabhavahari Brumandala prahita sorata mantra shandai Patnyasta sodasha sahasramananga banai Yasyendriyam vimatitum karanarna shekuhu.
The arched eyebrows of the 16,000 queens enchantingly expressed those ladies' secret intentions through coyly smiling sidelong glances. Thus, their eyebrows boldly sent forth conjugal messages. Yet, even with these arrows of Cupid, and with other means as well, they could not agitate Lord Krishna's senses.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrachatam Sahagana Raghunatan Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Nalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devin Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sonyavadi Astachahde Shatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavane Ishvari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
These are the topics of very, very highly elevated personalities to speak on to our very, very sincere students of spiritual life. These topics are relished by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the hearer, and the speaker is Ramananda Rai. Such highly elevated topics. But nevertheless, I seek everyone's permission and blessings that I can speak something in which I can cure the greatest disease of this world, that is lust, which is love without Krishna. I seek your blessings that I can cure this disease. And I hope through today's lesson we can somehow or other cross some way or other we can cross over this very, very difficult impediment path of this world, which is lust. There are four states of life. One is dreaming state of life. Another state of life is deep sleep. Another state of life is wakefulness. But another step of life, which is called Turiya, which is in Sanskrit Turiya, means the fourth state or fourth dimension. This fourth state of life is pure love of Krishna. So in these four categories, we can say the fourth one, Turiya, it's in the Vishuddha Sattva or the Shuddha Sattva state, which is in topmost pure goodness, which is beyond this material hemisphere, beyond this material realm. And the third one, which is the wakeful state, is considered in the mode of goodness. And the dreaming state of life is considered in the mode of passion. And the deep sleep state of affair or life is considered in mode of ignorance. So when a person is in deep sleep, he's not aware of what is going on physically or mentally. He's not aware. Obviously, you might be sleeping and you notice sometimes you're so much in deep sleep, you're not aware of anything. Not at all aware of anything, whatever happens. Sometimes, obviously, in ashram life is very austere. It's not an easy life. Everyone takes granted that ashram life is easy. Yes, it is easy in one way, but it's also difficult in another way. If a person wants a good sleep, it's very difficult to sleep. It's not easy to sleep there. But sometimes even then, because you do so much service throughout the day, you're just knocked over. You're not aware of anything. Even if devotee slams the door, even if devotee shakes the ashram with their big steps, you know, elephant gigantic steps, they're not aware of it because of their intense deep sleep. Or sometimes you have devotees, they snore so badly, but even if you make noise, they will not wake up. Because they're in intense sleep, they're in deep, deep sleep. And then you have the next category, persons who are in dreaming state. So this category are very prominent along with the deep sleep people, which are, in this world, is compromised major, especially in the age of Kali, is compromised mortal passion and ignorance. This is the majority of people. So in the mortal passion, we can see people who are in dreaming state. Oh, I will have a beautiful house next to the beach. And this house will stay for lifelong. And I will live forever with my beautiful darling, or so forth. And vice versa with the darling. They think, beloved, you know, I will be living with my beloved for lifelong. And we'll make so much money. And we'll open a big, big enterprise, big, big factory, and make our own products. And that's how, and so on. Goes on and on and on. In other words, they want to make the hellish place of this world into heavens. These are the dreaming affairs. They want to stop so many problems of life, like they want to stop birth, they want to stop old age, they want to stop death. These are all people who are in the dreaming state of life. Obviously, you might have experience. I personally had experience. When I was in Gurukul, I had difficulty because I was born with health problems. And one of that was I had sinus problem. And I wasn't able to breathe properly. I used to breathe with my mouth. But obviously, that problem is cured. When I became 16, 17, I was able to cure this problem. But there's a real reason why this problem got cured. So I used to sleep, and I used to snore. A little bit, not so much like many other devotees. I used to snore. So, while I used to snore, then my Gurukul friends, obviously, they used to get annoyed because they couldn't sleep, you know. One boy snores, the whole ashram can't sleep. Like 20 boys in there. So they're thinking, what is the method for stopping him from snoring? Stopping myself from snoring. So I was in deep, I was actually asleep. And they thought they had an idea. So they got a toothpaste. And they put the toothpaste in my mouth. Complete toothpaste. And obviously, the toothpaste for me was considered a special delicacy. Because in Gurukul, it was very austere. You wouldn't get that many sweets. So you thought toothpaste was so wonderful sweet. It was a wonderful sweet. And I was dreaming. Oh, what is this wonderful sweet I'm eating? Obviously, that problem, they couldn't solve that problem. So they had to make another plan. They got chili powder or something like that. That's how they were able to stop me from snoring. But I don't recommend you do this to other devotees. But this is, when a person is in a dreaming affairs, like for example myself, I wasn't in a dreaming state. I thought, what a wonderful sweet I'm enjoying in the form of toothpaste. So, persons in the mode of, generally in dreaming state, they have big plans. But ultimately, it has no value. Like, there's a nice story in regards to this. There was one potter man. This potter man, he was sleeping underneath his bed. And he was dreaming. He was thinking, oh, I got one pot above my head. Wow. He was dreaming. I got this pot. So I will sell this pot and I will get some money. With this money, I'll get two more pots. And I'll sell this pot, I'll make more profit. So I'll sell more pots. And from there, I will increase my possession from a mouse to cat and so forth and to a wife. So then he was thinking, then I'll have a children's. And what do I do with my children when they're small? So the potter man was dreaming. If my children misbehave, I have to teach them a lesson. What should I do? So he was thinking, I have to teach him, I have to beat him so nicely. So he said, how do I beat? So he grabbed a stick. And as he grabbed the stick right in front of his bed, he was thinking, this is how I'll strike him. And he took the stick in his dream instead, and he smashed something. He woke up. He saw that the pot got smashed. That very... So all his dreams were shattered into bits. So these are persons in the dreaming state of affairs. And then you have persons who are on the wakeful state. They are in the mode of goodness. So persons in mode of goodness, generally, they're aware what is right, what is wrong on the mundane viewpoints, dharma. Dharma means to discriminate what is good and what is wrong. That is what it means to be dharma. That is this dharma is the special ingredient which are given to the human beings. This special ingredient given to human beings shouldn't be misused in any way. That's how we distinguish a human being from an animal. We distinguish a human being from an animal because a human being has that dharma. That he has the discrimination, what is good, what is wrong. And he acts what is good, and he doesn't act what will be bad. The common factors of every living entities are that they eat, they sleep, they mate, and they defend. But this special ingredient, that is dharma, which is given to human beings, is distinguished from animals as such. Otherwise, you're considered as good as an animal, as two-legged animals. So, but nevertheless, a person has a vision, what is good for him, which will create at least piety in his life, and not degrade himself to a hellish condition, and what should be avoided. This is generally persons in the wakeful state of life. They are awake. They're not in deep sleep. They're not on a deep sleep platform, or they're not on the dreaming platform. They are aware of reality. What is practical? They're more practical people. But as we hear the descriptions today, the devotees or the beloved wives of Lord Shri Krishna are not on this three platform. They are not on the dreaming platform. They are not on the deep sleep platform. They are not on the wakeful platform. They are beyond. They are on the Turiya platform. They are on the transcendental platform. In this verse, we can see the glorification of two. In this verse, there is two ways you can analyze. One, this verse glorifies the exaltedness of the gopis, of the queens of Dwarka, who are expansions of gopis. And also this verse glorifies the exaltedness of Krishna. Krishna is glorious. Obviously, Krishna, he's always on the Shuddha Sattva platform. He is the source of Shuddha Sattva. He is never entangled in this material world. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Sadbitam. Lord Shiva offers these prayers in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That you, O Krishna, are in the Shuddha Sattva platform. Krishna is in Vasudeva platform or Shuddha Sattva platform. So he is never under this other three categories, that is of deep sleep, dreaming or wakeful. He is spiritually aware. That is Krishna's platform. Same with the residents of Dwarka, headed by the queens of Dwarka, of Krishna. They are also on that platform. They are on the spiritual platform, beyond the other three inferior platforms. So here Krishna, he's demonstrating his renunciation in extreme, in his unlimited degree. He's showing his renunciation. Obviously, people are attracted to opulences in the form of wealth, or in the form of knowledge, in the form of beauty, in the form of fame. But renunciation is a very, very difficult one. It's most difficult. Renunciation is the most difficult opulence to obtain. Yes, you may not be attached to wealth. You may not be attached to knowledge, so forth. But still, you're attached to that reputation. Very interesting episode that took place in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Bali Maharaj, he gave everything to Vamanadeva, even though Shukracharya said, don't give, he is Lord Vishnu, you must not give. But Bali Maharaj, understanding that his guru was not bona fide, he was a bogus, he rejected him and he actually gave everything to Krishna. And in his mind he was thinking, well, my father, he also was approached by the demigods. The demigods came and approached his father to give some wealth. And he thought, okay, even though they may be my enemies, I will give them. So he gave them. He gave them that opulences. And Bali Maharaj was thinking, the thing is, my father, he still has that fame. So I will get that. I may give up all the opulences, but I'll have that fame. Vamanadeva could detect the impurities within the heart of his very dear devotee, Bali Maharaj. And he wanted to eradicate the last bit of traces of impurities he had in his heart. How did he eradicate that fame he thought that he would get after giving up all the opulences and the three worlds? He humiliated him. Vamanadeva humiliated him. Even after getting everything Bali Maharaj had, by the pastime, it showed that Vamanadeva had no gratitude what Bali Maharaj gave. What did Vamanadeva do? He asked his carrier Garuda to bind Bali Maharaj in front of the assembly of all exalted personalities headed by Bali Maharaj's grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. This is how Bali Maharaj was able to destroy the last traces of impurities he might have had. And then so Bali Maharaj was bound up by Garuda with a rope, just like an animal god is bound up by his master. And that's how he was so ashamed of himself. But nevertheless, he was very happy. He was thinking, oh, this is by my Lord's mercy. I'm able to be bound up. He wasn't at all disturbed. Even if when his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj walked in the arena, he was blissful. He wasn't upset. But only thing he was upset about, he was ashamed of, oh, I promised Vamanadeva to give 3 steps of land, but I was able to only give him 2 steps, not the 3rd step. That's only thing he was very upset about. Oh, I was not able to fulfill Vamanadeva's, I wasn't able to fulfill my promise to Vamanadeva. Because of that mentality, he's considered Mahajan. He's considered a great devotee. Exalted devotee. He's one of the 12 Mahajans. He falls in one of the 12 Mahajans. And he made that proposal. You can place that 3rd step on my head. So, you may give up wealth, you may give up knowledge, you may be detached from that. But one thing which is very, very difficult, even in our community, is that prestige, is that fame, adoration, respect, distinction in society. That is very, very difficult. Most difficult. But Krishna, he was able to even renounce that. He had everything, but he was renounced from everything. He's renounced from everything. Similar episode, Krishna demonstrated his Atmaram feature or self-satisfaction feature in Vrindavan. When his exalted devotees were dancing with Krishna, and Krishna could detect that some sort of pride was within the heart of his devotee gopis, he immediately disappeared. He disappeared from the arena. What is more painful than for devotees than separation from Krishna? But Krishna is showing, he had the most beautiful damsels of the creation, but he was fully unattached. He's fully renounced. This is the greatest quality of Krishna, that he is fully renounced. And he went with one special gopi, which Shukadeva Goswami didn't want to mention her name. Because Shukadeva Goswami is the pet of that very special gopi. Shukadeva Goswami is the parrot of Srimati Radharani. Because if Shukadeva Goswami mentioned Radharani's name, he would have to disrupt Parikshit Maharaj from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why he didn't mention Radharani's name. Closest he mentioned was Aradhana, or the most worshipable personality. That's the closest he gave about the description of that special gopi Krishna was with. And Krishna was performing pastimes with that special gopi. But obviously, also that gopi had that little bit small pride. Krishna also left her. This shows that greatest detachment Krishna had. He's not at all attached. He's the most renounced. But nevertheless, Krishna, nevertheless, he is also not considered Atmaram. Why is he not considered Atmaram? Why is he not considered fully self-satisfied? Because he is also dependent on the love of his devotees. That's another feature. Krishna, in one sense, he is most renounced, he is most detached, but at the same time, he is fully dependent on the devotees. He is fully dependent. Krishna, He was thinking, what? Even though he was in Dwarka, he was thinking, what is the love the gopis had for me? I want to know it. I can't understand myself. I want to know it. So Krishna, in order to glorify the glories of his devotee, he appeared in this world as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the reasons Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, one of the internal reasons, is to show the people, is to show everyone, is to show the people in general that the love of the damsels of Raja and the love of the Varakavasis towards Krishna are totally on the Turiya platform, are in the pure, pure goodness platform. They are not on this mundane platform. This is one of the main reasons Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to this world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to understand the love Radharani had for Krishna. At the same time, he wanted to show the world the true love gopis had for Krishna. The beautiful song sung by Vasudev that Yadi gorna hoito tobe ki hoito kemone dore tamde Radhara mahima prema rasa sima jagate rachana toke Yadi gorna hoito. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't in this world, tabe ki hoito, then what would be our phase of life? What would be the purpose of our existence in this world? Yadi gorna hoito, tabe ki hoito, kemone dhoritam de Radha Ramahima, Prema Rasa Sema, Jagatir Jana Toke. We wouldn't even understand the exalted qualities of Srimati Radharani if it wasn't for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is only by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy are we able to understand the confidential, intimate topics of Srimati Radharani. Or else, people will misunderstand Krishna, or else people will misunderstand the exaltedness of Srimati Radharani and the gopis without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. That's why it's recommended that whenever we worship Srimati Radharani and Krishna, we have to approach through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like, even by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. These names, Hare means Radharani, and Krishna is Krishna. All blissful, all attractive, reservoir of all pleasure, Krishna. In order to relish the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without any offenses, or even if you do commit offenses, we must first of all chant Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Pranam Mantra along with the other four great exalted associates, Srivas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. We must chant Mahaprabhu's Pranam Mantra. Then we can chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is explained by chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Maha Mantra, it is more and more powerful than chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because he is the Yuga avatar of this age of Kali. He is the incarnation or personified deity of this age of Kali. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an ocean of mercy. And we require a lot of mercy. And in order to get mercy, we need to approach the right deity for the right yuga. See, the deity of Dwapara Yuga was Krishna. But the deity for Kali Yuga is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we must follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. That's why we have him as our deity. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction is that we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's why we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra also. Although we could just stay on Jai Shri Krishna platform, but Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructed us to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's why we also chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because he is our deity of this age of Kali. he is the principal deity we receive instruction of how to overcome the evil period of Kali Yuga. So he instructs us, worship Krishna. Worship, what is that nice song? Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings? Bhaja Krishna? No. You know this song? Bolo Krishna. What is it? Yeah, very nice. Bhajo Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Siksha. You chant Krishna's name, you worship Krishna, and you give Krishna to others. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You taste the nectar of love of God yourself, which is from the fruit coming from the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You relish it with wholeheartedness and you also give that fruit to others. So you chant Krishna's name, you worship Krishna and you give Krishna to others. This is the primary instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By taking shelter of Krishna, Krishna is showing. He's fully detached. He's renounced any material attractions or properties of such. He is fully detached. By taking shelter of Krishna, we can also come to that pure platform. Arjuna says to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, before Arjuna asks Krishna to show his universal form, Arjuna accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he is naturally a devotee. Devotee has no doubts about the supremacy of Krishna. And before Arjuna could see the universal form, he offered these beautiful prayers to Krishna. This verses are straight after the four most important chatushloki of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says, Arjuna uvacha, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. Krishna, you're the supreme abode. And then he also says, you're the most pure. You're the most pure. You have no material tinge of any attraction within your heart. You're the most pure. I'm not saying this just to flatter you, O Krishna. I'm not saying this because you're my friend, that's why I'll put such high glorification to you. No, I'm not only saying this. Ahustvam rishaya sarve devarshir naradastata asito devalo vyasa swayam cheva bravishyave. Great, exalted, learned devotees also conclude this same conclusion which I have mentioned in this verse. Such great sages are Asita, Devala, Vyasa, Narada. So Arjuna is pointing out, Krishna, he is Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. He is the most pure. So by taking shelter of Krishna, then what will happen is, we can overcome these very, very difficult obstacles of material desires. Then we can. And then here we see the residents of Dwarka, the queens of Dwarka, also showing wonderful example. What we should do. Krishna is teaching us one lesson. By taking shelter of me, you can also come to this stage of full renunciation of these material desires. And gopis also, the residents of Dwarka, the queens, are also teaching us a wonderful lesson. The queens of Dwarka are teaching us these lessons. Rupa Goswami says, Just as a boy has attraction to a girl, and a girl has attraction to a boy, similarly, we should have that same intense attraction for Krishna. And this is what the residents of the and the queens of Dwarka are doing. They are fully attracted to Krishna. This is the lessons the queens of Dwarka are teaching us. And we are known, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are known as Gopi Bharata Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa No Dasa. Or we are known to be servants of the servants of the servant. Even if we do not have that category of being the servant of the servant of the servant, but we should aspire, we should desire, because this is the highest position any living entity can have in this world. The highest position every living entity can get is to be servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the residents of gopis, or gopis, the husband of the gopi, of Krishna. This is the highest position we can get. Not to be big managers of this temple, or not to have the position of prime ministers of countries like Australia or India. Not to even reign the kingdom of heavens, the position of Indra. Nor even the position of Lord Brahma. These are not considered highly elevated positions. Because such positions are just a momentary flickering of time. You become such highly elevated persons, and the next moment, done. Your position is finished. This is what Jad Bharat has instructed King Rahugana. Because Rahugana was saying to Jad Bharat, who was carrying the palanquin, move on faster, faster. He was treating such a highly elevated, realized spiritual soul, Jad Bharat, as a mere mundane slave. But nevertheless, Rahugana said, put me down, and he wanted to chastise. And then Jad Bharat, who was a madman, spiritually madman, he never spoke, but for that, because of compassion for Rahugana, he spoke these words. Rahugana, he said wonderful, he gave wonderful instructions to King Rahugana. And in one point which really touched me, which really affected me, he said to Maharaj Rahugana, today you are a king, but you don't know who you were in previous life. You could have been a person also carrying a palanquin. In other words, don't get proud with your position, what you've got by Krishna's mercy. You must utilize whatever position you have properly in Krishna's service. If you get proud for achieving whatever positions you have in this world, you're on the dreaming state of life. So the real highest position any living entity can get in this world, and that is Gopi Bharata Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Na Dasa, exemplified by Sri Krishna himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Last week, one devotee asked me the question, why is it that we have attraction to family life, not to Krishna? Because, as I said, the answer is that Krishna, he is Purusha and we are Prakriti. We are meant to offer all enjoyments to Krishna, not to be the enjoyer. Because if we become the enjoyer, then we become the sufferer. We suffer the consequence. But if Krishna enjoys, it is blissful. But nevertheless, Krishna, he also envies the position every living entity has in this world. That is, to offer all enjoyment to Krishna. Krishna envies that position. He's thinking, oh, I want to get that position to offer all enjoyments. He wanted to take that mood of the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani, headed by the queens of Dwarka. He wanted to take that mood. So, how did he achieve that mood? He achieved that exalted position by as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by being a devotee of Krishna. Although he is Krishna himself, he was a devotee of Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would continuously quote these words. Gopi Parto Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa No Dasa. I'm just the servant of the servant of the servant of the loving damsels of Vrindavan, who are servants of Krishna. This was the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he is Purusha, but he wanted to take that position of Prakriti, in other words, to offer all enjoyment to Krishna. So never underestimate the position we have, that is, to offer all enjoyment to Krishna. Never underestimate. You should understand that even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies such position. And we should actually thank Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to letting us appreciate this kind of mood, to be a humble servant of Lord Sri Krishna. We can try. We can try somehow or other. It's practical. And similarly, the residents of Dwarka are showing that mood. They want to serve Krishna in all ways. They want to serve Krishna with their words. They want to serve Krishna with their mind. They also want to serve Krishna with their body. So we can also, all congregationally, try to serve Krishna in that mood. That is to be servant of the servant. This is the highest position we can get. And that is there in this world. And there's plenty for us. There's plenty room for us to go. There are plenty spaces. There's like if you want to work in a company, obviously many people, Nanda Mandir used to work in company. It's very difficult to get a position in a company, isn't it? You have to go so many interviews and so forth. But this Krishna's company, or in the spiritual world, there is no shortages. There's plenty room. And there's not much interview requirement. Free entrance. Because this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So, hopefully we can deepen our love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sri Krishna, and deepen our devotion, and move on from where we have left off from today. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Matiji.
As far as I understand, our relationship with the Lord is already eternally there, right? Mm. So that means not everybody is going to go like a Vrindavan. Our eternal position might be enlightened or not.
Yes, it's there. I agree with you. That's what Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion. That when a person is beginning his devotional service can have an attachment to a particular deity. If they have attachment to Lord Ram or to Varaha, that should be encouraged. Like we know the beautiful pastime of Sanatana Goswami's brother. What's his name? Anupam. He was instructed by Rupa and Sanatana. Rupa Sanatan said to Anupam, they explained to him that Krishna is the source of all incarnation and he is the supreme. And they encouraged him to worship Krishna. And Anupam said, okay, I'll try. I will be Krishna's devotee. But his attachment to Ram was so great. He couldn't sleep all night. He was thinking, I must kill myself because my attachment is to Lord Ram. I can't be unchaste to Lord Ram. At the same time, I don't want to disobey the instructions of my guru, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami. I don't want to do this. Obviously, later on, when Rupa Sanatana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself knew that Anupam had great attachment to Lord Ram, he was very, very happy. He gave the thumbs up to Anupam. He said, yes, good. He encouraged. As you said, naturally everyone has a relationship with Krishna. But in this material world, they still have a relationship with Krishna, but they are unaware of their relationship with Krishna. They are unaware. Because of the root cause of it is envy. That's the root cause. That's why devotees go out and help these living entities revive. And then even in devotee community, when we come in devotee community, it shows that the temple generally focuses on too much preaching, but then also lacks in one sense, it lacks the care for devotees. Which is also essential, because in devotee community, you know, Maya is also fighting fighting with devotees. Somehow or other, Maya is trying to get devotees away from Krishna, because that's her service to Krishna. Somehow or other. Maya is trying to get devotees devotees from Krishna. So that's why it is very important that in devotional community there is a wonderful gathering among devotees and try to build up a wonderful Krishna conscious mood. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would preach. He went to South India, he went to North India, he preached in Jharkhand, the forest, delivered so many animals and so forth. But at the same time, he made sure that this very important nurture among devotees took place. Like in the earlier on, I was saying how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would nurture Ramananda Rai, and Ramananda Rai would nurture Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with this wonderful intimate association. They would discuss about Krishna. Very important. So this is how we can stay strong in Krishna consciousness in devotional community. And at the same time, preach. Preach and nurture. Preach and nurture. This is very important. You must give Krishna to others who do not have Krishna. At the same time, you must nurture yourself that you can stay healthy so that you can give Krishna to others. You must be Krishna conscious yourself. Then you can give Krishna conscious to others. So, as you mentioned, that many people are unaware of Krishna. Though they have relationship with Krishna. So that's the devotee's service.
But I mean also amongst the devotees we often somehow assume that we all will go to Goloka Vrindavan, right?
Oh yes.
And that way I mean to
devote. Yes.
We kind of sometimes I think we are not aware that the relationship is already there and it's already determined. It's not that we are creating it.
It's not creating it.
We only reawaken it, but we are not building it as such.
Yes.
From you, you know?
Right.
And often the very nice thing is if I just, you know, worship Lord Chaitanya and love Krishna, then I will go there. But not necessarily. Our position might be in Vaikuntha. Right? Is it?
I agree with you, but also at the same time we know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered this special potency, that is Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. In other words, he is also offering this Goloka Dham to every living entity. It is the choice of every living entity ultimately, you know. At the same time they have fixed rasas. There is fixed rasas. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants, if Krishna wants, anything can happen. He can make the matter into spirit and spirit into matter. So why can't he also make a living entity change their relationship? It's possible.
Well, I heard it's possible, but somehow the living entity doesn't want to.
Yeah, generally they don't. Generally, yeah. Gop Kumar, yes. That is the story of Gop Kumar, how he tried to understand what is his relationship with Krishna. But sometimes, you see, nevertheless, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also encourage. When he went to South India, he met one Brahmana, who was a Ram Bhakta. He was also attached to Lord Ram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also try to convince, it'd be nice you worship Krishna. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants devotees to go to Goloka Vrindavan. Because this opportunity is not there in any yugas. And it's not there in any period of Brahma's life. It is only there at this period. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing. This very, very shortage of what you can say, opportunity. Very little opportunity. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is merciful that anyone, everyone can go back home back to God at Goloka Vrindavan. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would try to convince that Ram Bhakta to worship Krishna. He did change their faith from Lord Ram to Krishna. He would be able to change. So he says, you can't say one hand and another hand, it's very difficult. Basically, it's Sri Krishna's mercy we are dependent on. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.